thank you for your continued prayers and thoughts. I continue to do well recovering from COVID, and like everyone else who's going through that process, the day-by-day process, and we are grateful for all the support we receive throughout that. A few announcements before we get started. Brown Bag and Big Ideas has concluded for the summer. Thanks to all of you who joined us for that. Please don't forget that right after worship, we have a birthday and anniversary Sunday in the fellowship hall ready for you. We have brownies and ice cream ready for the summer special, so we hope you can stick around and enjoy a sweet treat. Food on the Fly and Trustees will be on Wednesday, August 10th. So we look forward for a chance to get a great meal from the church for $10, and Trustees will follow after that. Pre-order for daily texts are due by August 13th. In order to get a 10% discount, we will do one large order for the church to save shipping costs. I apologize, we were advertising for this last week, but I did not have the sign-up sheet out there with the information for prices. We do have that now, so you can look to see if you want a small print, a large print, a journal, or something else. We have a lot of great choices for you, so we hope you will take one of those. And don't forget, August, we have a lot of great worship opportunities. We'll be worshiping at Shenrun Village on Sunday, August 21st, with a potluck to follow. And we will have games for kids. That will be our Youth Sunday. And we will also bless our backpacks that day. So a lot of good things going on. Also, good news, our new John Deere riding mower arrived on Wednesday. It runs great. Tim brought it down for us. I'm very grateful for that. Terry and I got a chance to take it for a spin, and it is a real treat. So we want to thank you for your investment in our lawn care. We think that's really going to help the people around the congregation who take care of our outside things. A COVID announcement I want to share. The elders still want to encourage those of you who feel most comfortable wearing a mask to church to please keep wearing one. We want everyone to feel comfortable in worship, and we realize that comfort levels can change as cases fluctuate. As we are aware right now, we're in quite a spike. Tuscarawas County Health Department is saying this is our biggest spike since February, so we just encourage people to be cautious, to use social distancing and things like that. One thing I would personally share with you is with the Omicron variant, that's what I got, be very much on the lookout for seasonal allergy stuff. Like, I had a sore throat, and I didn't think much of it, but a sore throat right now, because of how hot high cases are, you should assume it's COVID, get tested as soon as possible, and kind of go for there. And I also encourage you to remember there's been a shortage of test kits available for people. You can go to the U.S. government site, and you can get those sent to your house for free. I believe they're sending up to 8, 4 in 2 different packages. It's a good thing to order those before you need them, so they're ready for you. But if you have any questions about our COVID policies or anything like that, please be able to reach out to me or one of our joint board members. We just want to continue to make sure that we're doing everything in the best interest of the safety of all. Our sermon question today is, how do we treat people who aren't sorry for their sins or the mistakes they made? How do we treat people who aren't sorry for the sins or the mistakes they made in life? That is all I have for announcements. Let us please rise and extend the right wave of fellowship. And you may remain standing as we actually will celebrate our Moravian Birthday Sunday, as we celebrate our anniversaries and birthdays this month. Our anniversaries this month are Mitch and Sharon, Doug and Angie, and Norm and Cheryl. And our July birthdays are Allison Nisley, Joyce Swaldo, Rob Hansen, and John Castor. Let us celebrate our birthdays and anniversaries with our Moravian Birthday Hymn.
Thank you.
comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Amen. You may remain standing as we join together in our first hymn, In Christ There Is No East or West, number 781 in the Moravian Book of Worship.
Together to pray the liturgy for reconciliation.
The world is filled with pain and alienation.
We know of illness when body or mind is failing, and the loneliness of spirit it brings.
We know of separation from parent or child, from friend or neighbor, and the emptiness of life it brings.
We know of strangeness in new communities and in changing communities, and the longing it brings.
We know of alienation caused by unemployment or poverty or discrimination, and the pain it brings.
We have become strangers to our relatives and foreigners to our own families.
How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let our cry for help come to you.
I am a God nearby, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? I am the Lord your God. I have called you out from the peoples, and you shall be holy to me.
We declare your praise,
the one who called us out of darkness into your wonderful light.
We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to you. Strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, we who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace.
We are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, with Christ himself as the cornerstone.
Therefore, let us affirm our faith in the triune God. Please stand. We believe in one
God who has created the land and sea and heaven and all that is in them, who established the world that was good, who gives to us the task of watchful and responsible care over it,
who is certainty and truth.
We believe in the one God, in Jesus Christ, assumed our humanity and knew our life as a child, youth, and adult,
who dined with sinners and lived with the homeless,
who confronted popular opinion and power,
who remained obedient in temptation and suffering,
whose triumph was a servant's death and resurrection.
We believe in the one God who comes to us as comforter and advocate,
who does not leave us as orphans,
who brings peace and calms the troubled heart,
who bestows the gift for serving, healing, showing compassion,
and doing miracles,
who alone is the power and the wisdom of our proclamation.
Let us, in faith, keep our eyes fixed on the promises of God, though we see them and greet them from a distance.
We confess that we are strangers and foreigners on the earth,
a people who are seeking our true home. We desire a better place, that is, a heavenly one. Indeed, God has prepared a city for us.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings to us so closely,
and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Scripture reading today is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must all rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And then the gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God."
Amen. Thank you, Jean Ann. As we take time to be rich towards God in prayer, let us uplift our joys, our concerns, our worries, our anxieties, and our blessings to God. In our prayers, before we get into our prayers of healing, we want to give a big thanks to those who will be at Camp Bethany this week. We think of our campers and our staff. They already have over 30 kids signed up, which is phenomenal for not being able to have this for 2 years to be back to that many kids. So we ask that you keep our campers and staff in prayer this week and that they have a wonderful and spirit-led week. Also, prayers of joy this week. We have a young, happy couple in front of us who's going to get married on Saturday. So our blessings and joys are with Tyler and Alicia, and know that the prayers of your church family will be with you on that day as we celebrate your love. Prayers of healing, we think of the following people: Corey Smith, Donna Swaldo, Tammy Reynolds, me, Janet West, Barb McCauley, Cheryl Foots, Lynn Charlie Reichman, Lisa Durant, Jim Ferrone, Tim Reynolds, Tammy Bennett, Corey Beitzel, Ryan Castor, and we think of anyone undergoing surgeries or procedures this week, anyone waiting test results, anyone who has anything to uplift in prayer to God. And we think especially also of all COVID-19 patients. We've had a huge uptick in, not only in our state, but in our country. We also keep our hospitals in prayers that have been dealing with an increase in cases. And we also want to keep everyone traveling or going to different places. And we think of those in Ukraine as well, as they continue to have refugees around the world. Let's take these prayers and uplift them to God. Gracious God, we come to you, and I'm grateful that we are in your house today, praising and celebrating your name. Help us to come to you with all that troubles and burdens our hearts, because God, we come to you with many prayers. We pray for those who are sick and are awaiting healing, those who are awaiting treatment, those who have to deal with the difficulty of calling insurance companies and other difficult fights just to receive treatment. Be with them. Watch over them. Gracious God, help us to remember each and every day not to take this life and this breath for granted. Be with all those who are suffering from COVID-19. Give thanks for the vaccines that are present in our world that keep those symptoms to a minimum. And just help each and every one of us to take care and uplift one another. Because when it comes to these long-term battles, we are all tired. We are all exhausted. But let us never forget that we are in it together and we have a God who fights for us. So when we think of the prayers that we've been uplifting for months and years, help us to remember that it is not a God who is sleeping, but it is a God who is working overtime for each and every one of us. And when we talk about inheritance today, may we remember that our greatest inheritance is that each and every one of us are your children. And we know the love, the unconditional love of the Father and Son. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn to our hearts and minds into our offering. I'm reminding you that we do not have a plate going up and down the pews, but there is one in back for those of you who'd like to make an in-person donation. We thank those of you who continue to use scmchurch.org, and please continue to look for community ministries we can support. One I want to uplift this week is our Challenger Baseball Tournament. We had our state tournament in Dover this week, and it's been really cool to see. We went down and checked it out yesterday. There were 8 fields of competition and kids just having a great time. So we continue to support many kids with disabilities in our community. And I love that our community is the one hosting us, that we can be a place for so many different people. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in the offertory hymn. Please rise. Pray together. Loving God, may we live as children, not feel entitled and spoiled, rich inheritance we have awaiting us, but may we honor it with love, discipleship, and mercy. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. And come on up. I have a seat right in here. How's everyone doing this morning? Good? Are you guys like super excited for school only a couple weeks away? Don't want to talk about it? I know we have somebody, do we have anybody going to camp this week? James is? Awesome, that's awesome. This is going to be your first time at camp, right? You're going to have a really good time. Absolutely. So what we're going to talk about today, Ryland, are you going to camp too, or? Fall ball, okay. I understand that.
If it weren't for that, then we actually would be, but...
I got you. Well, you got plenty of years to go to camp, so there'll be great opportunities for that. So we're going to talk about... Jaden, what were you going to say? Oh, you're excited for school? Okay.
Yeah, because we get to go to a movie theater.
You get to go to the movie theater. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about... What we are going to talk about today is something we get from our parents and our grandparents. It's a word called inheritance. Does anybody know what that means? I kind of gave it away. Ryland, what does it mean?
It's like stuff outside the line from like the other generation. Your family,
like money, jewelry. Yeah, that's very good. Aubrey, were you going to say the same thing? Or? Absolutely. So have any of you guys gotten anything from your grandparents or great-grandparents that you've inherited? Jade? Cool, yeah, she got stuff from her grandparents. How about you, Aubrey? A ring?
Earrings.
Oh, earrings, cool. What'd you get, Ryan?
I got my great-grandmother's
clothes. Nice. So it is very common that you get something from your great-grandparents or grandparents. This is actually something I got from my grandpa. You guys can check it out. This is my grandfather's belt buckle collection. So I'll show some of these off. So like this is his Evinrude belt. My grandpa worked at the Evinrude plant for 40 years, so he wore this one with a great deal of pride. And you know if the family was fishing, you didn't have to ask what motor we'd be using. What'd you find? Ooh, that's cool. So you guys can grab one. Feel free to check them out. And this is my favorite one this week. I've been carrying, not my phone. I've been carrying this one around with me. Tim would be happy with this. This is my grandpa's John Deere one. I never felt like I could carry this one before because he always had a John Deere in his garage that I never got to drive. But this week, I finally earned my John Deere belt buckle. So thank you, Mr. Northrop. I got to make sure I have a belt that I can put it on next time. But ooh. So everybody grab one of your favorite ones. Just check it out. Hold it for a little bit. All right. And even if you didn't find a perfect one, that's okay. That's good. Just grab one. Everybody have one? So now, why do you think these are special to me? Do you think they have a lot of economic value?
Yes.
Maybe a little. They might. But do you think they're worth like thousands of dollars or something like that?
Yes,
no.
Probably.
So why do you think they're special to me?
This one.
Ooh, that's a cool one. Waukesha Foundry. So if you know Waukesha, Wisconsin, that was one of the other places my grandpa had a good connection with. So why do you think these are special to me?
Because my dad works with somebody.
Yeah, they connect. Absolutely. They connect us to the people we love. And I think especially of this Evinrude one, right? What did I share that was special about my grandpa? Where did he work? He went fishing, and he worked for Evinrude. He made Evinrude motors for 40 years. So this thing may not be worth thousands of dollars, but when I wear this, I think about what my grandpa did every day. So it's got a different type of connection. What were you going to say, Ron?
Did you clean this one? It's really
shiny. Let me see that one. That one is Larry Maker for Budweiser. I'm not sure about that one, but I was more of a Miller man myself, but hey, more the merrier. And that one is celebrating the country, 1776. So when my grandpa lived in 1976, they celebrated the 200th anniversary of the country. So let's all take a breather. Can everyone put those back in the box for me? All right, I'm going to move these just right here. So each one of those, each one I carry at a different time in my life. Why do you think that's important? I don't even have a belt that I can fix on, but sometimes I'll carry it in my pocket like I do in my John Deere one. Why do you think that's important to me?
They connect
me to what's important to me. And that's the important thing. Because when we talk about the people we love, our parents, our grandparents, the other important people in our lives, money has very little to do about it. Jaden, were you going to say something? That's true. It would look nice on a big belt, but I don't have a big old fancy belt that I can wear that on. But I carry it with me because I want to be remembered, because I want to make sure I honor the legacy that my parents and my grandparents gave me. And my grandpa may not have been a rich man. He worked 40-plus years at Evinrude, worked his tail off. So that reminds me that I may not be a rich person, but the character, that the heart that I share in this world, that's what's important. That I share that not only with my family, but with you guys and with everyone around me. And that makes sure that these things that aren't very much worth money, worth very much monetary value, they have emotional value. And the things that live in our hearts can have a greater value than anything we have in our pocket or any type of dollar we have. Because our hearts are far worth more than any type of money we have. So I want you guys to remember that. That our inheritance is something we pass on. And that sometimes it's physical stuff, but a lot of times it's the lessons and the important things that people teach us that stick with us even longer. Will you guys pray with me? Will you get a circle and pray if that's okay?
No.
And if you feel comfortable, we can hold hands. If not, that's okay. That's okay. Okay. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you. I want to ask you to bless these kids and remind them that their inheritance of God's love is the most important thing they will receive. But there will be other special things they receive from their parents, their grandparents, and their great-grandparents in life, in this life. And help them to honor those memories and know that the love that we carry from our Lord and Savior and from our family is the most precious gift that we pass on. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen.
The one I have is brand new for some reason.
Oh, yeah?
It was really shiny.
They do. I've kept them nice and safe, that's for sure. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to our message today. Before I dig into our message, I just want to give another big shout out to our elders. Two things were very apparent to me last Sunday is, number one, we have a lot of talented elders in our congregation and spiritual leaders who can step up if the pastor is out. And number two, if I'm not here blabbering in front of you, you guys get out of church pretty quickly, don't you? And so it was wonderful to see so many people step up. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the message that you have to say to us. Inspire us with words of wisdom so that we too can honor the inheritance of godly love that each one of us has been given. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So I want to begin our message today with a Chinese proverb. When brothers fight to the death, a stranger inherits their father's estate. Let me say that again. When brothers fight to the death, a stranger inherits their father's estate. I thought about these words as it applied to our gospel this week, and I was actually reading a legal blog this week, and they said 44% of estate fights that happen in our country are between siblings. And of those 44%, 30% of those siblings are no longer communicating with one another. And I bet those statistics, for those of you in the pews right now, are not too surprising. How many of you know a family member that has dealt, or a friend who's dealt with a nasty estate fight at one point or another? How many of you know a family member or a friend? Yeah, many of us know somebody who's dealt with some type of that stress in their life. Jesus, in our gospel, in ancient times, they had these issues. Actually, they're more magnified because there was less to share and more people who wanted it. But Jesus talks to the brother who shouts out to him in the crowd, "Take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. In fact, Jesus' most famous parable, many would say, is the prodigal son. And in the prodigal son, it is the story of a son who has squandered the inheritance that he demanded and was given to him so graciously by his father. What I'm struggling with when I look at this text this week is, how do we treat people in the midst of their squandering? Because I know at the end of the story, at the end of the prodigal son, when the prodigal has realized that he's made all these mistakes, he comes to his father and asks for mercy. And I know when that moment comes, we too are called to grant mercy and to give forgiveness to others. But what about in the moments before that? That's where I'm struggling right now. What about when their mentality is still, "I deserve this inheritance," or the wound is still fresh for us from the hurt they have caused? How do we treat people in our lives who are unrepentant for their sins? Or as I asked it before, how do we treat people who don't want their sins to be forgiven? They don't see them as wrongdoing. Let me see some of your responses. How do we treat people who are unrepentant for their sins? We'll give a minute for any of you who want to respond yet. It's a tough question though, so we may not get a ton of responses for this. So how do we treat those who don't want to be forgiven? Sure.
Hoping that maybe something, you know, that they saw me do or something I said had an impact on them.
For sure. So you're hoping you can reach them, that you can find a way that just by treating them as you normally would, that you can find a way in, an access point to that. I like that. What are some other people? Pray for them. Absolutely. That's a challenging one. How do we do that in a way that invites them to see that we're not like pointing our finger, but we kind of are? I think prayer is a great way to start, because prayer centers us first, because we can't change them. Love and patience. Absolutely. That's needed. Amy's got a good one. With kindness and ask forgiveness for their sins. Maybe us asking forgiveness for something we've done to them or to God may give them. Jaden, let me see what you got. No different. Just treat them. I think that's a good one. Yeah, just keep it real. Don't give up on people. We shouldn't quit on the people around us. Even if they let us down consistently, we have to leave that door open, because we know the value of that relationship. Thank you. Those are good responses. Because I didn't throw that question out there because I had a perfect answer, because it's a question I really struggle with, is how do we treat people in the midst of the hurt they cause us? And even after a lot of prayer, which is one of the first places I go to, and reflection, this has been a difficult question for me to answer. And biblically, if you open your Bible, there is no cookie cut or easy answer I can give you. I can't point you to Matthew 5 or Luke 4 and say this is the perfect answer that Jesus gives you. Excuse me. What I can say is that for our own benefit, we should never let hatred fester in our hearts. Because when we start to become people who hate, we become the very thing we hate. Because retaliation becomes more important than justice. Getting what we want becomes more important than doing what is right.
Pastor Ben?
Yeah, Amy.
Sometimes they don't need to ask for forgiveness. We need to ask for forgiveness for treating them the way we do than they are.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Because we can't necessarily control what somebody else is going to do, but we can control what we do. That's great, Amy. And if we look at this concept of a sibling squandering a share of inheritance, if a sibling squanders a share of their inheritance, or in some cases, a parent is angry with us, and maybe they writes us out of the will, or decides to disown us in some way or form, is it important? It is incredibly important that we don't make a false idol out of money or gifts that don't belong to us in the first place. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 said, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." So what Jesus is saying there is we can fixate on the fact that money we inherited or could inherit it could pay off a huge amount of debt. It could maybe buy a home in some cases, or it could even treat us to something lavish we normally wouldn't get to experience. We could fixate and fester on all those things, but instead we have the opportunity to look with a different perspective. We should focus on the fact that there is food in our belly today, right? We're not going hungry. There's a roof over our head. It may not be a $500,000 roof, but it is a roof that protects us and preserves us. And God willing, there is happiness and love inside our home without any of the material blessings that money would have given us. We were happy before we knew that money existed, and we remain happy now that it is in someone else's hands. Our happiness is not dependent on that. And I heard someone say, this is an issue I struggle with. They said, "Pastor, I can live without the money. I can live without what was due to me in my inheritance. But what keeps me up at night is the idea that bad person who took me out, made sure I didn't get what was mine, they got rewarded with money for their bad actions. They got the benefit and blessings of doing wrong to me. And if that's what bothers you, if that's what keeps you up at night, remember one thing. Con artists and fools play the short game, but it is God who plays the long game. Foolish people do foolish things and they receive foolish rewards. Foolish people do foolish things and receive foolish rewards. In other words, you know the one who is squandering the inheritance. You know the first thing they did, they didn't run off to see Jim Karcher, their financial planner, hand them their $50,000, $60,000 and say, Jim, make 5 to 10% for this each year and we'll have a gift that keeps on giving, right? No, they didn't do that, did they? What'd they do? They went to the car dealer. They went to the tattoo parlor. They went to Best Buy. They got the surround sound with the surround sound that goes on top of the surround sound. And they went to their Amazon wish list and they cleared it. They got everything they could possibly get on there. There is a reason most people who win the lottery end up with less money than they started with. Foolish people do foolish things. So brothers and sisters, when Christ calls us to set our hearts on things above, He is calling us to take a step back and look at the world through God's eyes. And remember what He said in our gospel, possessions are not everything. There are far greater value to life than possessions. And none of us can change the fact that people we love dearly in this life will hurt us often and deeply for material gain. What we do have the power to do is change how we respond, as Amy was talking about before. We can change our perspective, our ability to ask forgiveness. Because bitterness and anger, they can be incredibly rewarding and energizing to start with, but they quickly become poisons upon our hearts if we don't let go of them. They become who we are to our core. And none of us want that. Because when we fully and completely put our trust in God, we see quickly that our happiness is not dependent on our circumstances. You know, they're doing studies on happiness right now, and they're finding out that people who are super rich and people who are super poor, the happiness ratings aren't that much different, because happiness is not dependent on circumstances. We are able to find happiness and meaning in life right here, right now, each and every one of us. And we can do that without a large inheritance, without huge popularity, or an abundance of material possessions. We are able to find the love of a Savior that will be with us in all times, in all circumstances. So please remember that and take heart. Because Christ's love, it will lift us out of the depths of our own personal difficulties. And someday, it will carry each and every one of us home to our Heavenly Father. That love is far greater than any gold or silver we can inherit. That is why we will harbor no personal grudges towards those who harm us for material possessions. We are not the fools. We see the power and the value of God's redeeming love for each and every one of us. So let us accept the eternal love of the Father through Jesus Christ, His one and only Son. And each and every one of us can share in an inheritance that is eternal, unconditional, and blessed for each and every one of us. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before You, and I'm grateful for the people gathered here in person and online and spiritually present with us. Just help each and every one of us realize that we can find happiness in life today with everything that we already have. We should not live our lives dependent on hoping that there's some big material possession waiting for us around the corner, because happiness is for us right here in the love and unconditional love of the Savior. So help us to seek you more than we seek the things of this world, and to know that right now our happiness is not dependent on our circumstances. It is dependent on your unconditional and merciful love. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in song. Again, want to remind you to join us for Birthday Sunday down in the Fellowship Hall immediately after worship. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.